Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. Again, this morning I want to launch into the topic of healing. We don't launch into it by chance. This is very intentional. We're doing it very much on purpose as we're teaching through the month of July on healing and finishing out with a healing service with Bob Dunphy. We do this because of one thing. Faith comes by, and hearing by. And so as we're sharing this message of faith, by the time we get to that healing service, you ought to be full, ready to receive, powered up and ready to go. Amen? I reached for my phone this morning. The charger evidently was not properly plugged in, so it was powerless. How many of you love powerless? Sam's got his hand up. I think his hearing aid may be working wrong. How many of you like it when you're powered up? Amen. You get up in the morning and you're ready to just meet the world and take them on. And maybe by lunch you want a nap, but you're ready to go. Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking. Talks to his disciples. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word. And he healed all who were sick. Poke the person next to you and tell them. All means all. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. How important is the word of God in our midst? We've heard several things already this morning. God is declaring and decreeing some things. And we need to be saying the same thing that He does. Amen? Jesus says that He was sent to destroy the works of the wicked one. And how did He do it? With a word. There wasn't ranting and raving and dancing and shouting and spitting. And I'm not saying that you can't do all those things while you're routing the enemy. But it doesn't take all that. It takes a word. He speaks. And it's so. You know, when God created the universe, what did He use? His word. He used His word. He spoke, and it was so. We read in Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and He spoke and He said, let there be light. And that's actually more than He said. He said, light be. And instantly there was light. Instantly, there was light. So when He speaks over you and says, heal, how long should it take? Instantly. The healing is already paid for. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you, when you go down and your order is in and you go to pick it up and you've already paid for it, you have to stand around and wait until the money comes? Nobody? There's a reason for that, right? It's already paid for. And if it's already paid for, you go in and you say, it's mine. Give it to me. Right? Yes. No. You've got to be a little responsive. If you're not a little responsive, I'm going to come right on down there. We'll get face to face. Psalm 107, verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He sent His what? He sent His word. He sent His word. Well, how does He send His word? It's not a trick question. He sends His word by sending someone to speak it. Amen? In the Old Testament, we see in the garden, He speaks it Himself. We see that He used prophets to speak it. We see that He used seers to speak it. He used believers to speak it. He used kings to speak it. Amen? In the New Testament, here comes Jesus. John declares that He is the Word. He sent His Word to heal us. Jesus is the full manifestation of that prophecy. And Jesus came and He spoke. And He drove out demons with a word. Right?
Amen.
And he said, you, go into all the world and do what? So now point at the person next to you and say, he was talking to you. You're supposed to go preach. Amen. Kathy just about got started this morning, so. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. God is looking for people who will say what he says. He's looking for people who will declare and decree the truth of his word. He's looking for people who will stand up and speak. Such a rousing response. Amen?
Amen?
You don't have to be afraid to say it. It won't scare me. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I am watching over my word to perform it. You ought to get excited right there. I mean, seriously excited. God isn't waiting for anything except someone to speak his word. He's looking for someone who will say what he says. He's looking for someone who will stand up and declare and decree the truth that he has spoken. How many of you here need healing this morning? Just go ahead, put your hand in the air. It's not anything to be ashamed of. You need healing? Say this out loud with me. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Is that the truth?
Yes,
that is the truth. Amen? And as we speak it in faith believing, God is jumping on it to make it manifest. Yeah. Yeah. He's not waiting for anything else but us. He's already done. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews it says, at the end of creation, God finished all the part he was going to do. God was already done. And he rested. And he's been resting, waiting for us ever since. Amen? Amos chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Who's going to speak it? You're going to speak it. Amos chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. You are the one he's waiting for. Amos 3, verses 7 and 8. Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Amen? We're here to be God's representatives in the earth. He said we're his ambassadors. The ambassador's job is to go and speak on behalf of the sovereign. He's our sovereign, and we're standing up to speak on his behalf. And what are we doing? We're getting in the face of demons and saying, get out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Get out in Jesus' name. We're getting into the face of sickness and disease, and we're saying, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Amen? We speak to poverty. We speak to doubt. We speak to confusion. We speak to these things. Well, just talking about it, it's not going to help anything. Read the Word. How did God create the universe? He spoke. The earth was without form and void. There was nothing about the earth that was discernibly special until God spoke. Amen? And once God spoke, everything changed. And God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed at all. Who are His prophets? Joel chapter 2 says, you. We have any boys in the house? It says, your sons shall prophesy. Amen? Any girls in the house? It says, your daughters shall prophesy. Amen? Look at the person next to you and say, I knew he was talking about me. You and I are the ones who have to go and boldly declare and decree what the Word says. We're not just speaking out some pious platitudes. We're not just speaking some cliche. And how many of you have noticed that church roadside bulletin boards are the cliche center? Every cliche you can imagine gets posted on those boards. I wish somebody would just get a hold of the power of what's there and begin to use it. And I'm looking for people who will have boards that will step up and declare the will of God for our area. She said amen. I ain't kissing the rest of you. Jesus said, come out. And the demons came out. He said, be healed. And they were healed. All of them were healed. Amen? God is waiting for you and me to speak in agreement with His Word. Mark chapter 11. Verses 23 and 24. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. Pastor, you're taking us to a lot of scriptures today. Yeah, because faith comes by?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
Word of God.
Amen. Mark 11, 23 and 24. I think this is the only scripture Brother Hagin ever preached. At least it seemed like it sometimes. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever, everybody say, that's me. Whoever says to this mountain, what mountain do you have in your life? You have a mountain of a diagnosis? You have a mountain of a financial situation? Do you have a mountain of turmoil? Do you have a mountain of teenagers? On the other side of that, do you have a mountain of parents? Amen? And then there's Tyler, who is a mountain all by himself. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask, that word ask there, you need to make a little note out in your margin. It means demand, declare, and decree. Whatsoever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When you put a demand on the promise, it will come to pass. When you declare His decrees, He is eagerly looking for the opportunity to make them manifest. When you decree His will, there is nothing that can stop it from coming to pass except your doubt and unbelief. Oh, me. Amen? How do we know what to say? Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. When somebody comes up and says, will you pray for me? Well, the first thing I've got to do is not figure out what their problem is. It's not figure out what scripture I have to remember to pray over them. I need to put my ear to the Father's heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when I put my ear to the Father's heart, the things that come out of my mouth are going to be the things that are in His heart.
Amen.
How do I know what to speak? I get into His presence. I tap into the Father's presence. And in His presence, I find everything that I need to change the course of history for the people that I'm making contact with. Amen? I got an email this week, and sometimes you don't even realize how much of an impact you're having until somebody makes contact with you and says, let me tell you what you did for me. Now, first of all, when you don't know what you did, it's obvious God did it. Amen? And when God did it, God gets the credit. Each month for RDM, we put out our donor letter. So when somebody sends money in, then we send this letter back out that says thank you to them, gives them an update on the ministry. And as I'm writing that letter every month, I'm always praying and saying, okay, Father, what do you want me to put into this? What do you want me to include with it? And at the end of it, I've started adding some things that include the ways that we're praying for our partners. But this one particular letter that I sent out had a particular scripture that I included. And I just, I mean, it just bubbled up on the inside of me when I was writing the letter. So this week I got an email from one of our partners, and she said, "You have no idea how that scripture ministered to me. The day that I got this letter," they've been dealing with some pretty severe things. They've got a son who's in real big trouble. He's going to prison because of stealing stuff, and it's really a bad situation. But they're believers, and they know what the Word says. And the Word says, God speaking to Job said, "I will deliver even those who are not innocent by the cleanliness of your hands." Is that a good thing? I will deliver even those who are not innocent by the cleanliness of your hands. That's powerful. That means that you can pray for people who are actually guilty, who are actually in the wrong, and God will deliver them. Hallelujah. Amen? And she said, that particular scripture was the scripture God gave me in my devotions this morning. And here's the letter coming, and it witnessed to me because it's the exact same scripture. It's good to listen to the Holy Ghost. It's good to know that Jesus is alive today, and He's still speaking to men. John chapter 8, verse 38 says, "I speak what I have seen with my Father." And speaking to the people who were in opposition to him, he says, "And you speak what you've seen with your father." Amen? He told the Jews of that day, he said, "I don't know what you're giving me grief about. I'm a son of Abraham. You claim to be a son of Abraham. You're actually a son of the devil." Right? Isn't that what he said? We've got a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but they can't possibly be. They can't be. Because their heart and the heart of God are completely in opposition to one another. You can't claim to be a Christian and live a lifestyle that opposes Christ. Amen. Now, let me just qualify that just with this one statement. You may be on the beginning of the journey and your life is not fully transformed yet. But I promise you it will. I promise that the closer you get to Jesus, the more like Him you become. Amen? How many of you know that when little ones are born, they make an awful mess? I mean, they are poop machines. They eat, they sleep, and they mess. That's just the way that it is. And the first thing you do is love them, right? And you love them, and you love them, and you just can't get enough of them. Even when they're a mess, you still love them, right? Somehow when they get to be teenagers, we forgot about that. But the reality is, no matter how big the mess is when they're teenagers, we need to still love them. Amen? And when they're so little and tiny and beautiful, you just can't help but love them. Right? You need to remember that. You need to be able to see past the later things. And remember what that was like. The day that you held them the first time. The day that you loved them the first time. Because the reality is, when the trials come, you need to know that was worth the efforts. Because the day is going to come when they're going to get all straightened up again. They will. I used to tell my students when I was teaching high school, I used to tell them that I know what happens. There's this thing, it's a surgical procedure. It's called puberty. There's a covert team that sneaks in the middle of the night. They cut out 75% of your brain. It takes about 6 years for it to grow back. Parents of teenagers said? Teenagers said, "I'm going to get you for that." Jesus said he got what he got to speak by being in the presence of the Father. David said it a little differently. He said, "I was in prayer and the God spoke to me. God spoke to me and said, I will," in Psalm chapter 2 it says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has spoken unto me. Ask of me and I will give you the nations." Ask of me and I will give you the nations. He said, "I will declare the decree." That means that when he's standing up and speaking it out, he's saying, "God's given me the nations." When I get over into prayer, I'm speaking what he said to me. "I thank you, Father God, you've given me the nations. I thank you that the end of the earth is my inheritance. I thank you, Father God, that you have provided for all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I'm not here begging you. I'm saying what you said about me. I'm here saying that I am the healed. I am supplied. I am powerful. I will declare the decree. I will declare the decree. A decree goes out from the sovereign. It is the law of the land. There is nothing else that can be done. I mean, remember the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Darius is there and he's duped into making a decree. Right? And then after he makes the decree, he can't change it. It's the law. So he's got to live by the decree. When the king gives a decree, that's the word. That's it, man. Daniel goes, don't worry about it. I got this. God has got me. The Bible says that the king fasted and prayed. The king fasted and prayed because of what the decree was about to do to Daniel. But see, Daniel had a bigger decree. I will live and not die. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So, well, that's in Psalms. That's not in Daniel. Daniel had it because God hasn't changed. God's decree is the same from beginning to end, Genesis to maps. God doesn't change His opinion and He doesn't change His direction. That's a good place to shout. Because if God said it, that's the end of the discussion. I will declare the decree when I pray. For surely I say to you, whoever decrees to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. He will have whatever he says. Amen? How many of you think that sometimes you're looking at tough situations? You're looking at it and you're going, it's bigger than I can handle. How'd you like to be Ezekiel? Ezekiel's standing and God has got him looking over a valley. And in the valley there's what? Dry bones. And he says, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel's smarter than most. He says, you know, Lord. You know, Lord. I'm not coming up with an answer to this. I'm liable to get it wrong. But you know. How many know when God asks you a question, He already knows the answer? The smart thing to do is let Him answer it first before you try and say anything. Amen? And here's Ezekiel and he's looking and I don't know about you, but I've hung out with God enough that when He starts talking like that, I know that something is about to happen. Something is going on and I get a little nervous. Because if He's speaking to me about it, that means somehow He wants me involved in what's going on. When He says He's put healing in your hands, it's because He wants you to put your hands on somebody on a regular basis. It's not a one-time event. And as we are listening to the things that God speaks to us, He is giving clear instruction. And He says to Ezekiel, He says, speak to those bones. Command them to live. This doesn't happen, God. God, do you understand? This just doesn't happen. That's not what He said. Somewhere down inside of Him, He went, ooh, God spoke and the whole universe came into being. And now He wants me to speak on His behalf. This should be fun. Amen? Let's see what happens. God said, live! And the bones start rattling. Amen? They start coming together. And the next thing you know, they start taking on flesh. I mean, He speaks as God directs Him to speak. And miracles are flowing without anything else going on. Just a word is enough. When that word is tied to the heart of the Father. He sent His word and He healed them. And He delivered them from all their destructions. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. I heard, and therefore I spoke. I spoke what I heard. Listen to me. There's a real simple formula here. We all like formulas, right? I want to know just what I have to do. I just want to plug in what I need to do, and then I can get it right. So this is the easy part. Listen. Pay attention. Act on what you hear. Amen? Everybody say it together with me. Listen. Pay attention. Act on what you hear. Can you do that? Yes, you can. I know you can because God said it. Prophesy, he says. So I prophesied. Prophesy, he said. So I prophesied. He commanded me and I spoke. And the miracle was a whole army was raised up to God. A great and exceeding army was raised. How many of you know we need a great and exceeding army for God right now? An army that will go and bring the third great awakening into reality. An army that will go out and bring healing to the nations. An army that will go out and increase the Father's family tenfold this month. Amen? Amen? And it doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much at all. Or we can ask our math nerd. Georgia, if everybody here today goes out and wins one. Okay? How many will we have tomorrow? Doesn't matter, just twice as many. And then if everybody goes out and wins one more the next day, how many will we have? Four times as many. And everybody goes out and wins one the next day, how many will we have? Eight times as many, and everybody goes out the next day. By the end of the month, how many are we going to have? See, we already packed out the church by the end of the week. Amen? We're going to really pack it out by the end of the month to do that. Everybody talks about church growth, but the fact of the matter is church growth is real simple. Go win somebody. Go get somebody. Go bring somebody. If everybody brings one a month, the church by the end of the year won't hold all the people that will be here. Amen? Now, maybe you're not excited about what goes on here. And that's why you don't bring anybody. The altars are open. Or at least get excited. Amen. So, I mean, seriously, this is life. We're talking about getting life to people. We're talking about bringing the healing power of God. I'm going to tell you right now, if you go out this week and you lay hands on people, one person every day for the next 6 days, then come next Sunday, you ought to be able to have at least one person who will come back with you. If you minister healing. Amen? If you're the worker of miracles, you ought to have somebody that's willing to come back with you. Because after all, you did something that impacted their life. You can have a word, just a word, that encourages somebody so much they go, I don't know what you got, but I want it. Amen? I remember when I was in high school, and the girl who sat in front of me, you've met her husband, Steve Coolish's wife, Debbie, sat right in front of me in high school, and I didn't know anything about any of this Holy Ghost stuff, any of this Spirit-filled stuff. I was raised Roman Catholic, got saved in the Southern Baptist Church. I didn't know anything about being excited about church. I mean, when I was in the Catholic Church, they have bells that they ring. And I was excited about the bells, because the bells told you how far in the service you were, so you know when you were leaving. And you could time it out. Okay, we got three bells left, we got two bells left, we got one, it's the last bell, guys. Because I wasn't excited about church because there wasn't anything to be excited about. And then I exchanged that. The Southern Baptists came along with Vacation Bible School and they bussed us to church and they got us saved because they told us what the Bible said and invited us to ask Jesus into our heart. And when we did, they said, now you need to be in church, you need to be in Sunday school. And then he brought a bus and took us to Sunday school. See, if you go get people, they actually will come to church. Hint, hint, hint. And the funny thing is, they weren't any more excited about Jesus than the people I went with to the Catholic Church. Because in the Baptist church that I went to, once you got saved, that was the end of the road. There wasn't anything else after you got saved, except to go get other people saved. And I remember about a year into it going, why would I go get somebody else to come share my boredom? Amen? I mean, let's get serious. Church can be boring if you don't know Jesus. I'll tell you what, you get into the presence of God during praise and worship, and trust me, you can be standing side by side with somebody who gets absolutely nothing out of church, and you can be having a blast. I mean, you can be having a party, and they're looking at you like, what's the matter with you? Because you're hooking into something they're not hooking into. You're tapping into something they're not tapping into. When we tap into the presence of God, it changes things. And all of a sudden, we get excited about going to church, not because we're going to church. Because let's face it, it would have been easier to stay in bed. Amen? Come on, let's be honest. How many of you could have used another 30 minutes? Maybe think maybe another 30 days. But when you come into the presence of God, He begins to speak things into your life. He begins to speak things into your heart. He begins to do things. You begin to see things differently. And there you're sitting and you're just minding your own business. Praise and worship is going on. You got your hands in the air, your eyes closed, and God goes, go pray for so-and-so. Now? Right here in the middle of this, I'm really enjoying this, Lord. Go pray for them. I've got a word for so-and-so. Go give it to them. Well, can't you talk to them? I'm going to talk to them. You're going to go speak for me. Amen?
Amen.
We get into His presence. We hear His heart. It changes us. I get excited about the things of God now, not because church is a great cheerleading session. Not because we've got this pep rally that goes on every Sunday. I mean, I got nothing against pep rallies. Okay? I always did like cheerleaders. I was a boy. But the fact of the matter is, when all it is an emotional stirring, it's not enough. Because eventually, that emotional stirring will become commonplace. And then if all it is about stirring emotion, you're constantly having to do something new to stir the emotions. You're having to come up with a new gimmick, a new program, a new something to keep people interested. Well, let me tell you, right now, I'm not into that because I am not smart enough. But I know the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost doesn't have any problem keeping people's attention. The Holy Ghost says, oh, by the way, oh, I like these. I like illustrations when you get to go be part of something. So. You don't need shoes. Just step right out here. I like it. God is good. He said, I can give you a hug.
God bless.
He loves you. I mean, He loves you. Because that's the way it works. It's not something weird. It's not something wild. Well, maybe, but I mean, Cliff's not here, so it's not going to be too wild. It can be anything. It can be a matter of just reaching out and giving somebody a hug. It can be a matter of just touching somebody. Amen? There's stuff going on all of the time in the kingdom of God. And He wants us to be part of it. He wants us to be involved. Why does He want us to be involved? Because He loves us. Because He wants us then to be the force that He uses to love others. Amen? How many of you came into church this morning going, oh, I hope it's good. I need a good church service today. Amen? Come on. Now, let's see. Honest hands. Come on. Okay. Now, come on. There we go. How many of you came in this morning going, ooh, it's going to be good this morning? I know it's going to be good. God's already been speaking to me. Amen? No wonder nobody's sitting beside you. Church is supposed to be something that causes us to go away encouraged, causes us to go away stirred, causes us to go away fired up, ready for the week. We don't come in here to just dump. We come in here to dump and refill. Amen? We get a recharge so that we go out and we've got something worth sharing with the people around us. Hallelujah. It's good to be full of the Holy Ghost. Be charged up and ready. You know, you can actually be walking through Walmart and the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Right? Come on. How many of you go to Walmart? We won't insult Target today. She said, I don't care. I don't work for them anymore. You know, it doesn't matter where we go. Wherever we go can be turned into a point of revival. It can be that point, and a revival is for the living, just so you know. Revival is for the living. And then we can give birth to the vision God puts in our hearts. Dead people don't give birth to anything, in case you hadn't noticed. You know, cemeteries are not growing in population because of new births. I have yet to walk through a cemetery and find a party breaking out among the people who live there or don't, as the case may be. No. Those kind of things are for living folks. Amen? How many of you have something worth getting excited about? Anybody have any kids? We can celebrate them. Amen? Amen. Get excited about them. They go off and do strange things. They just go off like they're adults or something. Like they should be able to be independent. I told my wife, I said, this is the darndest thing. You raise your kids to be independent and they go and do it. Without getting permission. But we should be excited because that's proof that this stuff works. They grow up. They become young men and young women. They make their own decisions. And thank God, most of them make decisions we can be proud of. Maybe not always. Maybe sometimes they don't make decisions that we're too keen on. But you know what? God's still bigger than all that. Amen? And God will perfect that which concerns you. Lynn read it this morning. God will perfect that which concerns you. Perfect means to make so there's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken, nothing defective. God will perfect that which concerns you. You ought to have a place in your Bible where you write down underneath that scripture what concerns you. It might be the name of somebody in your family. It might be a situation. It might be the name of your car. The name of your dog. Who knows what it'll be. But the fact of the matter is, if it concerns you, God's going to make it complete. God's going to make it whole. God's going to make it so there's nothing missing. And you get into prayer and you start lifting that up before Him and He's going to speak to you about it. And then you can come out and you can declare and decree what God says about your situation. You can dance. You can shout. You know the mind of God on the situation. Amen? Amen? Come on. We get excited about it, not because that's what church people do. So I know a lot of church people don't ever get excited about anything. That's why I've changed churches a number of times. I don't mean as pastor, I mean as a pew sitter. You can only take so much depression. Then you got to move. It said, be salt and light. I'm salt and light, but the salt is worn out and the light is going dim. I got to go get refreshed. Amen? But I'm not giving up on those folks either. When I pastored down in Mench, I remember that I pastored down there for 2 years. It was 2 years of missions work. Loved the people. I mean, I really did. I loved the people down there. But it was hard plowing. And I can remember every week going in on Saturday to study for my message and thinking, oh God, I hope this is the last Sunday I have to do this. Give us revival. Because I mean, it was hard work. It was just tough. Every single thing that we talked about, it was as if they'd heard it for the first time. Because it probably was. You know, when you have somebody who's 72 years old get saved, and they say, I've been going to this church for 62 years, we've never heard this before. It makes you think that, yeah, you probably got some work to do. The bad part is that sometimes you don't get to finish the work. Sometimes people just can't take. How many of you remember giving babies that first taste of something that they didn't quite want? I mean, you never saw anything move so fast in all your life. And then the next time you went to take that spoon and put it in their mouth, you never saw a seal so tight. You couldn't force it in if you wanted them to. And you had to be a little deceptive sometimes and mix it with other stuff and change the format. My granddaughter drinks prune juice, of all things, and likes it. But she didn't like it the first time. But she likes it now. And I just think that you can find a way to like something if you really want to. And those folks didn't like what we were feeding them, and they invited us to leave. I remember the congregational meeting when we got voted out, and the president of the council stood up and said, now, Pastor, you need to understand, I've been going to this church for 42 years. We know we're supposed to love everybody, but we're just not up to that yet. And my thought was, well, how long do you think it's going to take? Because I don't mind being patient, but I want to know there's hope. And I don't have another 42 years. And most of them didn't either. And I remember they voted us out in October, but we couldn't leave until after December because they didn't want it to interfere with the candlelight service. Stated, that was what they said. Now, keep in mind that we can laugh at these folks, but the fact of the matter is that there's some stuff like that in our hearts too. Come on, let's be honest. We all have flesh. But I remember my last Saturday there, knowing that the following Sunday was my last time to preach, and I remember going in and laying on the platform, literally just prostrating myself on the platform and crying like a baby. Because my next question was, okay, well, who's going to take them now? Who's going to lead them to Jesus now? Who's going to share with them this gospel of the kingdom now? I knew God wasn't finished with them, but I didn't have any control over what was coming next. You know, divorce is never fun, no matter what kind of relationship it's in. Divorce is painful. And when you truly love the person who is divorcing you, you don't just walk away. You don't just give up. You keep on loving them. You keep on being concerned about them. And they became a concern that got written in the flyleaf of my Bible. And every time I prayed, I knew God will perfect that which concerns me. And I began to speak over them and say over them that this is a church that's on fire. These people have gotten saved. Revival has come to this church. And in the name of Jesus, they will declare the good news throughout the earth. Well, it took a while before there was reconciliation between us and the families there. It did happen, though. All but a couple of them. Some people are just hard-hearted. But the majority of them, I remember my head deacon there came to me about 3 weeks later. I was over in True Value in Everett, and he came walking up to me and tears running down his face. I remember it just like it was yesterday. And he walked up and he took me by the hands and he said, I am so sorry for what we did to you. we missed God. This is the biggest mistake we've ever made. The flesh wants to say, you better believe it. But when you know God, then you think like God, then you talk like God, you act like God. And I said, Abby, God's still got a plan for Mount Union. God's got a plan, and it involves the prosperity of this church. God will bring you someone who will lead this church into following after God with all their hearts. And he gave me a great big hug, and I mean, we stayed friends till the day he died. His wife and I were never friends until he died. And I remember going in to his funeral and just visiting with him in the funeral home, just sitting and talking. How many of you know that love works? Amen? But I've been praying for these folks. I've been praying for these folks for years now. And I walked in and I remember she was sitting there and I mean, you could tell she was just devastated. Obviously, I mean, you can't be married for somebody your whole life, lose them, and not have it impact you. And she was never one to show emotion. She was never one to smile. You never knew really what was going on inside of her other than the things that she said. And she usually, the things that she said were kind of sharp and bitter, which tells me that she was hurting. And I remember praying for her over and over again. God will perfect that which concerns you. God will perfect that which concerns you. And I remember I walked into the funeral home and I walked over and I sat down beside her and I put my arm around her and I gave her just a great big hug. And I just said, Vesta, I just want you to know if there's anything you need, if there's anything we can do, if there's anything at all. And she looked at me and she just began to cry and she gave me a big hug, kissed me on the cheek. And I thought, wow, something's going on here. She said, I knew I could count on you. God is working even when you don't realize it. Amen? Since then, I've seen her. Every time I see her, she's got some memory issues nowadays. And it's funny because I'll see her and Larry out and they'll be doing something. I'll walk up and I'll say, Vesta, how are you? How are you doing? And she'll say, oh, Pastor Pat, it's so good to see you. He said, she doesn't do that with anybody else. She doesn't remember anybody else. Sometimes she doesn't remember me. But every time she sees me, she remembers me. I get a great big hug and a kiss on the cheek. And I think, what a miracle God has done. Amen? He will perfect that which concerns you. You got to say what He says. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Well, be encouraged. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with your spirit the perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. Look at the person next to you, tell them, when you don't know what to do, pray in the Holy Ghost till you do. Is that easy? No, it's that hard. Because I'll tell you right now, to stay in the Holy Ghost is the challenge. To be hooked to the Holy Ghost, to not let go till you have an answer, that's the challenge. Because most of us come in, we lift our bullet list to the Lord. Okay, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And by the way, I need wisdom on this, so I'll talk to you later. And we're out of there. But what would happen if we actually stayed hooked until we had it? Now, I don't mean we have to stay in that place, although sometimes that's not a bad thing. But just stay hooked till you got it. You just walk down and grab him by the hand. You know, you've got a promise. God said He's given us the Holy Ghost, that He would go with us. He's going to come beside us. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. So no matter where we go, He's with us. See, I can use her as an example because it says the same thing about her. We're in this together. We're walking together. We're doing it together. And if I have a question, what are we doing for lunch? cooking out. I get an answer. She's the social director, so it's her job to do those kind of things. We do it together. And if we do it together and we're walking along and the Holy Ghost goes, hey, go pray for so-and-so. I don't have to stop and think, is that the Holy Ghost? I know, because we walk together. We talk together. We do things together. Amen? When somebody comes in, and I mean they are dressed so handsome. They are looking like a preacher. You stop and ask the Holy Ghost, is it his turn to preach today? And if he says yes, you know what? I'm sitting down. Because I bet he can preach. He dresses the part, I bet he can preach. Yeah? Amen. Get ready. You're just going to walk in one day and I'm going to say, by the way, it's your turn. And I'm going to be really excited because when that happens, that's always fun. If you want to use Tyler as a sermon illustration, he's up to it. We want to do what God's doing, amen? We want to make this as practical as it possibly can be. We want to live a Christian life, not just have a Christian philosophy. So we get into His presence, we hear His heart, and then we begin to say what He says and do what He does. Amen? Healing comes with a word. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to speak it boldly. Everybody say boldly. Stand up. Let's see how bold you really are. I want you to say this out loud with me, and I want to be able to hear, no matter where you're at, I want to be able to hear you. Okay? Say this together with me. I will. Boldly speak. Declaring and decreeing. The will of God. For me. For my house. For my family. For my job. For my destiny. I will. Boldly. Declare and decree. That my church. Is blessed. The favor of God fills this house. The power of God flows through this place. We are an example of the church and the power that it represents. I will boldly say, God works through me. And I will demonstrate that power and authority. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I will boldly, boldly say what God says. Amen? You may be seated. I'm going to finish up with this. This is Isaiah chapter 42, verses 21 and 22. Isaiah 42. You know, when you're speaking what God says, you're giving life to a situation. His word is life. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 21 and 22. Now this will not sound like your Bible, but it's the literal translation, so just kind of make notes as you need to. It says, the Lord is absolutely delighted when people agree with His word. He will empower the word and make it glorious. This is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes. And they are forced into hiding. Their house is now a prison. They are reduced to prey, and no one comes to their rescue. They are the prize for plunder, and no one says, restore. Isaiah is prophesying. He said, the reason everything's in a mess is because nobody's speaking up. Nobody's saying what God says. And God says, restore. God's been saying restore since the Garden of Eden. God has been speaking restoration to His people from the very beginning. The word restore means to bring back, to pay back, to put back, to reinstate, to replace. To restore is to get back to what it used to be and better. The Bible says when the thief is found out, he must repay seven times what he stole. Anybody here ever lost anything? The devil stole from you. Seven times what he stole, he has to pay back. talking to Mary this time. Seven times what he stole. Seven times what he stole has to be paid back. Yeah. You want to dance? You oughta. You oughta. Anybody here? You've lost some of your investments? Because the economy tanked? Seven times what was stolen has to be paid back. We lost a house years and years ago. We lost a house. Our finances tanked. Wasn't the economy tanked. Our finances tanked. I mean, in the end, we lost our house. We had the favor of the bank that we were able to sell our debt for a dollar, and they bought, lock, stock, and barrel, bought all of our house for a dollar, which was much better than the amount that we owed them. But I said then, my God said, when the thief is found out, he's got to repay seven times what he stole. How many houses are we on now? This is the third one? And every one's better than the one before, and all of them are better than that one. Each house, we're on the third house since that house, that means we get four more. We get four more. Amen? Pastor, you're just being foolish. No, I am very serious about this. I am very serious about this. I am very serious about this. I want so much that I have to give it away. I don't want to hoard it to my own self. I don't want to live luxurious just so that I can brag about the stuff that I've got. Because let me just, this is one of my little pet peeves. You don't need 35 cars. You can only drive one at a time. Unless you're out there driving them all the time, you probably don't need 35 cars. Now, if you have 35 cars, God is speaking to you. I have a friend, and he's got some really nice cars. He's got an old Lincoln. And I said, you know, you don't need this many cars. And he said, God's blessed me. And I said, that's right. He gave to you so you could give. And he said, I don't like it when you put it that way. And I said, I know God's speaking to you about these cars, and he's going to tell you to... It wasn't very long. He gave one away. I laughed because he did. He gave one away. He didn't give the Lincoln away. But you know what? The fact of the matter is God doesn't care what kind of stuff you've got. He cares about what kind of stuff's got you. God isn't worried about whether or not you prosper. It was His will that you prosper. It's still His will that you prosper. It's His will that you have so much you can't contain it. In the midst of famine, the righteous have plenty so that they can share with others. Amen? We're going to be rich, not because we get to brag about how rich we are, not so that we can comb our hair like Donald Trump. Hallelujah. But so that we can be givers. Amen? Our God is a good giver of good and perfect gifts, and He wants us to be the same way. But He wants us to speak to the situations where there's been loss and say, restore. Amen? He wants us to rise up and call out the devil for who he is. A thief and a liar. He wants us to speak the edict of heaven and say, restore. To speak to the nation that we have where freedom seems to be falling by the wayside and speak to it and say, restore in Jesus' name. Come on now. He wants us to speak to Christ Victory Church. Amen? We've been stolen from. And it's time for us to stand up and declare and decree over this congregation the restoration of what God intended from the beginning. Amen. God's vision for this church has not changed. Not one bit. And God didn't put this church in place, the place that it is, the size that it is, so that we could look and say, wouldn't it be nice if all the pews were full? His intention from the beginning is it would be overflowing. His intention from the beginning was this wouldn't be big enough. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, tell me about your church. I said, our church is a destination church. People are coming here on purpose. I said, what do you mean by that? I said, we're not on the way to anything. People coming here are coming on purpose. Amen?
Amen.
So we got to give them a reason to come.
Right.
We are the reason. We are the reason. Because of our ministry, because of our love, because of our willingness to be the body of Christ manifest, people are going to go, man, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that. That's what church is supposed to be. I want to be part of it. Amen? So stand up where you're at. Let's just practice a little bit. Okay. Who has a great sense of direction? Wayne, which way is north? Okay, so turn to the north. Okay. Time to declare and decree to the north. Restore in Jesus' name. Oh, no, come on, with some passion and power now. Restore in Jesus' name. Turn to the south. Declare it and decree it. Restore in Jesus' name. Come on.
Restore in Jesus' name.
Turn to the east. Declare it and decree it.
Restore in Jesus' name.
Turn to the west. Do the hokey pokey.
Restore in Jesus' name.
There you go. Now, I want you to say out loud,
this church
is going to be
the powerhouse
that God intended from the beginning. Changing the course of history for Bedford County, Pennsylvania, and the United States of America. This church is a force to be reckoned with. And I'm part of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You believe it? Shout a little bit.
Hallelujah!
It's good.